Good morning and welcome to Jump in Tucson. That's Matt Neely behind the glass, keeping us on time and on target. That's a Air Force slogan right there, on time, on target. The most important things you can have. Thank you for joining us today. You've woke up with Chris DeSimone earlier, and now you're with myself for the engagement hour. The purpose of this engagement hour is to encourage people to get involved. We've got certain responsibilities as citizens of this great country, and one of them is to being engaged and involved. And today, I've got somebody who is engaged in this community throughout his lifetime, as most anybody. And today, joining me is Supervisor Steve Christie, representing District 4 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Supervisor, good morning.
Good morning to you, Ted. Good to see you.
Well, one of the things I've been trying to do over time is to lay out everybody's story of how they got engaged. And as I understand, you're a local Tucson-born and bred individual here, and I've been amazed by how many people who are actively involved fit kind of that mold. So can you give us your story?
Yeah, my parents moved, like so many other parents, after World War II from the Midwest. They were from the Toledo, Ohio area, and for a number of reasons, in 1950, they moved out to Tucson, started up a whole new life, came out with some friends, went into business together. And I was born in 1954, and shortly after that, they were divorced. I don't have any memory of my parents being married under the same roof. And my father returned to Ohio. My mother stayed here in Tucson. And when I was just about 2 or 3 days shy of turning 3, my mother remarried to a local car dealer by the name of Ed Galloway. And he was the Willys Overland Jeep dealer downtown, and also had a number of other marks like Kaiser Frazier, Nash, Rambler, American Motors, and he grew his business and raised me. And when I was about 14 or 15, my freshman year in high school, I had already gone through Sam Hughes School, Mansfield Middle School, went to 1 year out at Greenfields, and then I wanted to see what it was like to live with my father, what it would be like to live with him in Ohio. So I went to a prep school in Toledo, and from there, after graduating from there, I went on to the American University in Washington, D.C. But every vacation, be it Christmas or spring or summer, I came back to Tucson. And particularly in my college years, I began working all summer long at Galloway Motors and realized that was my calling. And I worked my way up from a lot boy to service advisor to salesman to parts runner to car washer to all the menial positions that are so vital to learn the business. I did that, and then eventually the rest, as they say, is history. I bought my stepfather out in 1997. We moved to a new location out at Pantano and 22nd Street in 2001.
Oh, yeah.
And along came the beginnings of the Great Recession in 2007. And along that time, if you recall, Mercedes-Benz owned Chrysler Corporation, and that was never a good fit. They just never seemed to be able to have any kind of synergy there, and Mercedes put all of the franchises for Chrysler in the United States up for sale. Well, that kind of makes you a little nervous as a franchisee when your manufacturer has your franchise up for sale. But to make matters worse, there were no offers on it. So I could kind of see what was coming down the pike. Plus, the economic indicators were of such a nature that it was rather troubling. And lo and behold, a car dealer with multiple chain outlets in Denver and Phoenix approached me, and he said, "I'd like to talk to you about buying your dealership." And I thought, well, if there's ever a time to do it, now is the time. And so we made a deal, and I sold, and that was in October of 2007, and about less than a year later, Chrysler went bankrupt. So my car dealer friends called me Nostradamus. And it was a very difficult time, not only for the country and the economy and businesses coast to coast, but in particular for the car business, the car industry, automobile industry. And I know of a lot of car dealers that I'd made friends across the country over the years that lost their franchises. And in any event, from that point, I was looking for something to do to remain, as you say, engaged in the community. And if you recall, some folks that Your organization, Southern Arizona Leadership Council, approached me to run for, or not to run for, but to be available to be appointed to the State Transportation Board, which I did, and that was one of the most rewarding experiences I had, and it was my first dipping my big toe into the waters of public service, and I served 5 years and ended up as its chairman. And prior to that, also I was involved in the original Regional Transportation Authority issue. And
well, actually, we point to that as a success, the Regional Transportation Authority, all the time, because both Steve Farley, the two mm-hmm. Steves, mm-hmm. both got together behind it for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And that had a lot to do with bringing the community together and overwhelmingly passed that.
Yeah.
So I know you were involved in SALC as uh-huh. a member.
Yep.
You know, we kind of joke now that you're an elected official. We've kicked you out, but we didn't
care,
kick you out.
You obviously care what kind of company you keep.
We're still holding that seat for you. You know, you're always welcome back.
Thank you.
But that was my first exposure to you when I joined SALC in 2013, was your involvement in the State Transportation Board. And I came in and learned about infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
But that sounds like it was kind of your lead to then taking the next step.
It was. After my tenure on the State Transportation Board expired, a few months after that, it became apparent that my predecessor, Supervisor Carroll, was not going to run for re-election. And a number of the same people that approached me to be on the State Transportation Board asked if I'd be interested in running for county supervisor. And I thought about it, and it was, well, let me think about it. Yes. So that was in 2016, and I served my first term, was reelected, served my second term, which I'm at almost the end of, and I'm running again for reelection for a third term.
Appreciate you sharing your story with us, Steve. I always love watching Matt Neely's face through the glass, because when he hears something that he did not know, it catches his attention, his eyes get wide open. And so we appreciate you sharing all that about your history and how you got into the car dealership business.
A lot of people think my wife was Ed Galloway's daughter. And that's not the case. Well, that I married the boss's daughter. No.
That would have been one path.
Yeah, it would have been, but it wasn't the accurate one. And I was raised by Ed, and he had married my mother when I was 3 years old. So that was my way to go into the quote-unquote family business that way.
Well, you're always a vocal member of SALC. You've been vocal on the board. You've got your ideas of what direction you go. So we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll come back. Let's talk about with Supervisor Christie about what he sees as the concerns for the district going forward, and we'll probably even touch a little bit on your reelection campaign.
Very good.
All right. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on 1030 The Voice, KVOI. We'll be back. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell. I'm with Supervisor Steve Christie of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. And Supervisor, I believe you had something else you wanted to
add. I just wanted to mention, he talked about jumping in and being involved in the community. That was part of my upbringing, too, in the automobile business. I was chairman of the Metro Chamber of Commerce. I belonged to the Tucson Conquistadors. I was tournament chairman. I was the general chairman for the United Way. So along with my involvement in my business community, which I come from, I also was involved in numerous organizations, and I think that is part and parcel of what you're trying to cultivate with your show about jumping in. And I always enjoyed those leadership positions in the community, and I benefited a great deal in many ways from it. And there's nothing like getting involved in your community, especially if you have an investment in it.
I couldn't say it any better myself. So thanks for adding that. And for those of you who are considering jumping in and getting involved, I strongly encourage you to do it. It doesn't mean you're going to end up running for public office, but that is the ultimate step.
And also consider joining SALC. Wayne.
Hey, there you go. You give that plug. I won't necessarily do that one. So you're in a unique position on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. You're the only Republican. Yet
unique, what some people would call it unique.
Yet you've been very effective at getting things done and making some partnerships that are going to come along. Obviously, with the former Supervisor Bronson, she and you saw eye to eye on a lot of issues, not all, but on a lot. And now you're working in a large way with Sylvia Lee and Rex Scott to get the issues that you think are important. So how's that tested your leadership ability?
Well, I thank you for painting that picture of my ability to collaborate with my colleagues. I did to a great extent with Supervisor Bronson. I don't know how effective that collaboration is with my current batch of colleagues. We don't see eye to eye on a lot of issues. My concerns, of course, deal with the border issues and how we have accommodated the migrant situation by accepting federal money. And everybody said, well, this is a federal problem. This is the government has got to get involved and go to work. The system is broken. We need comprehensive immigration reform. Well, that's all true, and there are different definitions of what makes the system broken. But I feel that when we accepted the first dollar of the federal money to accommodate, feed, clothe, shelter, house, Medicaid migrants in Pima County, we became complicit, and we accommodated this effort to bring people into our country that really was out of control. So when they say the system is broken, I say the system was broken when Pima County took the first dollar. So that's an issue with me. And again, the everybody's saying, oh, we're avoiding street releases. Well, we're maybe avoiding street releases in Pima County, but they're being released in streets throughout the country. And that's not a good thing. And it starts with us.
And I do believe in Nogales, they've been having street releases for some time, in part because not having that access as Pima County has to federal dollars or turning them down. What do you think is the action that the county can take that will help address that issue?
A, stop taking the federal money. B, shut down Casas Alitas Welcoming Center and the other one out on the other Welcoming Center. I can't, the street slips me right now, mm-hmm. but both shelters need to be shut down. We need to get out of the asylum-seeking business. That will send a message throughout the world that Pima County is not a welcoming center and that it will divert people and maybe have them think twice coming into our country, because we're noted around the world by all members from all countries how welcoming Pima County is. I mean, we've got beautiful facilities. We feed, clothe, shelter them, give them airline tickets at times, do everything we can to become a travel center to their quote-unquote final destination. This is very welcoming to people that don't have the means of that kind of transportation ability wherever they come from. So that's the first thing.
How would you address the folks that are concerned that if we have 500 to 1,000 street releases a day that we're going to be overrun with criminal activity and others?
Yeah,
what would your solution
be on that one? We will be. And at this particular juncture, my solution is, if you're in our country, whether legally or illegally, or as a citizen or not, if you break the law and are creating havoc on fellow citizens in Pima County or the citizens and residents of Pima County, then you'll be subject to our laws and you will be arrested. And if you are found that you should be in Pima County and you're here illegally, or if you're taking advantage of the asylum process but yet breaking laws, you'll be deported. And that word will get out as well. One of the big concerns I have, too, is this kind of foreboding feeling that's becoming more and more prominent with my colleagues is a defunding of the police. We're seeing terms thrown out like reducing the jail population, reducing the severity of sentencing, having diversion activities where you, instead of going to jail or being somewhat incarcerated or penalized, you're going to be free from having to go and suffer the consequences. So I think we need to address the fact that there are criminals that are coming in, and that any kind of activity that breaks the law, there will be punishment. And it's just what really is so frustrating in my position is when I first ran, my number one issue, and I still think it's the number one issue, is just fix the roads. Yet we went into all these other narratives that the left seems to be forwarding about defunding the police and reducing The law enforcement presence in Pima County, all the way from that to accepting money to help migrants transition into our country. And then on top of that, my colleagues want to raise the primary property tax in this economy, in this environment. People are starving and trying to find ways to pay bills, and they want to raise the property tax in this environment. So it's a very, you say I'm in a unique position. I guess that is a unique position because I have the ability to at least be some center of diverse opinion.
And we've talked about that before, Steve. It's I personally believe it's very important to have those diverse conversations on boards, on councils, on whether they're towns, cities. It's when we don't have the discussion on the different sides of the issues that we definitely don't make any progress except in one direction, which may be failing.
And in point of fact, I am the only board member that stands between my board members that will stop a sales tax in Pima County. It takes a unanimous decision of the whole board to pass a general sales tax. I'm the only one that stands between me and them to prevent that from happening.
Absolutely, and that brings up an issue, and we're going to go. I want to pivot to roads because you were on the State Transportation Board. Therefore, you served on PAG and the RTA board for that 6-year term you were on the things. That's the role I'm in now. And I'm trying to keep the RTA alive and well because I think the loss of those funds will hurt everybody because, to your point, the 36% of the population in Pima County that lives in unincorporated Pima County, if the RTA goes away, they have no money other than the county's dollars, which are being used better now for roads, but still maybe not to the full extent. What are your thoughts as you watch us go through this? You were a driver of the RTA one. As you watch us go through RTA next conversations.
Well, I'm very disappointed, but not surprised with the approach of the city of Tucson. They're giving the RTA deaths by a 1,000 paper cuts. They pick away at little things and put them in a big bundle and say, see, look at all these problems that we have. The RTA needs to be either dissolved or reimagined. And it seems that they're pushing and pushing and pushing to the point where they're going to be given an excuse that after all of their attempts of trying to keep the camaraderie together and the regionalism together, after all their hard work of trying to do it, it just didn't work out, and they're going to leave the RTA. I've always felt there should be a plan B with PAG and RTA about how that will look, those entities will look without the city of Tucson. And so far I've seen really no concrete plans to accommodate that issue, which I believe will happen. I know you've been working really hard to keep things together.
I'm not giving up yet.
And I laud you for that. But I have to say, just listening to the city council members and to the mayor about how they've been so wrongly treated by the RTA, which is bunk, that they're not going to, at the end of the day, just pull out.
So let me go back to RTA one. You were a supporter. Like we said, Steve Farley and yourself came behind it. You obviously weren't on the transportation board yet, but you were a huge infrastructure advocate. Was RTA one a perfect plan?
I would have to say no.
Exactly.
And that was probably what was so appealing about it, because everybody agreed that it wasn't perfect, but everybody also agreed that they got something out of it.
And that's the key that I think we've got to stick with. So Supervisor, we've got, and I'm with Supervisor Steve Christie, District 4, Pima County Board of Supervisors. We've got about another minute of time. What are your biggest challenges and what are your concerns with your upcoming reelection?
My biggest concern of my upcoming reelection is to make sure that the Republicans get the vote out, because fortunately for me, the dichotomy of my district seems to bend towards Republicans, but I also want to appeal to the independents to let them know that I am a voice of common sense and reason. I come from the private sector. I own my own business. I signed the front of a paycheck. I know what it means to make a payroll. I've been taking those experiences and trying to apply them into the policies of the Board of Supervisors, and I'm the only one on the board that's ever owned a business or run a business. And it's very evident when I bring those issues up, because my colleagues look at me like I'm from another world. But the issue is those principles need to be applied in public service.
Absolutely. Supervisor, I don't know what you've got planned after this. You kind of teed up my next segment. I'm going to be bringing Pima County Republican Party Chairman Dave Smith. If you want to stay with us and talk, maybe you can ask him the question how they're going to get the ensure the Republicans come out.
I love Dave Smith, and I'd love to stay. And by the way, I love being supervisor.
Absolutely. You're listening to 1030 The Voice. Jump in Tucson. We'll be back after the break. Good morning, and welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell, and you're with us on the Engagement Hour. We've got to remember that we are nation bound by shared values of freedom, liberty, and equality. And with that comes some rights and responsibilities. For some, that includes service to our country, to others, to our community, and to some, for running for public office. We were joined by Supervisor Steve Christie in the first half hour, and he's elected to stay with us. In this second half hour, have the honor to be joined by Pima County Republican Party Chairman Dave Smith. Mr. Smith, thank you for joining us today. It's the first time we've had the opportunity to meet, and I look forward to our conversation.
Well, I look forward to our conversation, too. Thank you for inviting me. And again, it's great to be here in the studio with one of my Republican heroes. You know, Steve Christie has been a stalwart, standing against, talk about a thwart the crazies. You know, he is now the sole logical brain on our Board of Supervisors. And I hope everyone listening, how important it is to change that Board of Supervisors. And that's so important.
Well, we're going to get on some of the specific topics about what you've got going with the party and your plans for this upcoming election. But one of the things I always like to encourage people to get engaged and get involved. So I'd like to hear a little bit. Can you kind of tell me your story of how you first started getting engaged, either with the party or in the community, and what led to that decision? Because I know you and your wife are very active.
Yes.
And what led to the decision for you to actually run for party chair? Because it hasn't always been fun.
It's not fun at all. I'll tell you that right now. You really can't believe the vehemence with which people meet your enthusiasm to unify and win. I grew up in Flagstaff. My mom ran the Coconino Women's Republican Party for years. My dad, very active. I can remember as a little kid, we were putting AUH2O bumper stickers on the telephone poles around Flagstaff. You know, my dad just gave us a host of them and said, put them up, boy. You know, and I was, again, think about it. I was 12 years old running around politicking for Goldwater. And it was partly because his daughter lived next door to us. Her husband owned a auto shop there in Flagstaff. So I would, see them all the time. But the thing was, is that I grew up in that atmosphere. I came to the University of Arizona, majored in political science. And back then, Conrad Joyner was the chairman of the political science department and the head of the Board of Supervisors, and he was a Republican. I would say that the political science department was divided 50-50 Republican. Now, sociology, my minor, was full of communists, Dean Rojek and these other guys, who later I went back to as I became a street cop in Tucson when I graduated. And I realized very quickly that the sociological theory espoused by the left there, that we call social conflict theory, and you can look it up. It's a Marxist theory that crime, poverty, it's all created by the conflict between the haves and the have-nots, the proletariat, the bourgeois, the usual malarkey. I actually went back and argued with Dean Rojek, told him to come right along and meet real crooks, because they're not, it's classical theory's right. People choose crime because it's an option. It's a logical option for them and their belief system. So needless to say, I went on, went to DPS, had a career in DPS, and finally at the end of the 80s, there'd been a company started in Dallas, Texas called, the Law Enforcement Television Network, and it skyrocketed. It was literally a satellite distributed law enforcement training, news, and information 24 hours a day out of Dallas. It became the largest police training authority in the world. It had 4,000 agencies subscribing, million cops watching daily, and I had a show on it. In 91, I went full-time with them because they offered me a job as director of education, which was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I actually sat down with the director of DPS at that time, Rick Ayers, and I said, this is a phenomenal offer. And he said, go for it. So I moved to Dallas. It was great. Spent years, but I also got knee-deep in the political aspect, because back then, if you remember, when Clinton got elected in 92, that started an anti-police atmosphere to some degree, even though the 94 election drug him to the center.
Absolutely.
So we were doing a lot of shows back then trying to influence law enforcement leadership to the conservative way of thinking, but we had to be very careful. I had Stephen Moore on a lot. At that time, he was with Cato and other places. You see Stephen Moore all the time on the conservative shows, and we got to be friends. John Fund from the Wall Street Journal. We had a lot of these conservative thinkers on. And so I was always knee deep in the political aspect, but I had to be careful. I couldn't call any political name because the nature of the business, you know, and a lot of chiefs and a lot of sheriffs were Democrats. Regardless, back then, the Democrat Party was not the Democrat Party we're dealing with today.
And I think you still see a lot of that overlap. Well, thank you first off for your services as a uniformed officer.
It was my honor, and it was a great thing. And this is Police Memorial Week, and thanks to Steve Christie, the county's celebrating it, thank goodness. And all of you out there, thank a cop. I mean, if you see him today, thank him, because these people, it's been a nightmare ever since the Obama administration, the war on cops. But anyway, I moved back to Tucson in 2010, and I was stunned how passive the Republican Party was.
Were you retired at that point?
Yeah, well, I'd retired. Yeah, I took a deferred retirement, and then I went to Dallas, and I went to Chicago. That's when the Tea Party fired up, and my wife and I were active in the Tea Party up there, which was all Republican. It's so funny because people talk about it as if it was a separate party. We weren't at all. No, we were in Dennis Hastert's, Coach Hastert that created a great scandal. You know, we had all Republican speakers at our events. Betsy and I would coordinate the parking very often. It was a very active group. Of course, Obama took them down with the IRS. But when we moved back here full-time in 2014, it was stunning to me how passive the party was. And then in 2020, you know, here we are in the midst of this pandemic, these restrictions. The Board of Supervisors was shutting us down everywhere. Folks, we got to win this Board of Supervisors. I'm just telling you right now. Steve Christie has to go back in there, and the rest of our people, J.L. Wittenraker, Corey Stevens, and, of course, Steve Spain, need to get elected, folks. This is what we have to do, unite and get that done. But we've fired up. I got fed up after the pandemic, and we decided to get very active in the politics. Then I even got more fed up at all the infighting, the collective issues. So in 2022, I just said, that's it. I'm going to run for chairman. And I was elected overwhelmingly. We swelled our PC ranks afterwards. We're at 900 PCs. And don't listen to what you say when people tell you our numbers went down. We are right now hovering right at 900, the most in Pima County history, because people like you listening want to get involved. And they are getting involved. And we're doing outreach all over the place, Ted. And that's the other thing. I've got groups that are doing faith outreach. I've got Hispanic outreach going on. And that's one of the things that's been neglected by the Republican Party is to include people who are traditionally very passive. 50% of Christians or self-proclaimed evangelicals didn't vote in the last election. 50%. Think what that would have made a difference here in the city council race last year.
Now, are you finding a lot of the Hispanic voters that you're reaching out to, are they already registered as Republicans? Registered as independents? Are they registered as Democrats?
A lot of PND, which is, party not determined, a lot of independents. And then, frankly, Democrats that are fed up. Because, the Democrat Party is the one that's deviated from its original goal and mission, where it used to be, liberal in issues. Now it's Marxist in issues. And literally, the open border. Regardless of what your family traditions are, you're not happy if you're a citizen and you're seeing all your social support services crushed and overwhelmed by this open border. You've got to fight back. And this is what's happening. So many people are upset. So many people. We just had our Hispanic outreach meeting last night, and we were all talking about the various options. Because when our people sit down with people who are, let's say, Democrats, and say, what are your values? And we end up that they end up more than Reagan's 80% on our values. But we've been demonized by the left. We've been demonized by those people who were perfectly happy with disunity. I found there's a cadre of people that will gladly rule in secondary positions as long as they're in charge. It's like it's their personal club. The Republican Party is not a club. It's a party. It's a philosophy. It's a way of thinking.
Ted, could I just jump real
absolutely
quickly,
Supervisor?
I get kind of enthralled with whenever Dave talks. He's a spellbinding speaker, and he speaks so well, so I don't want to interrupt. But
you can tell he's been on television.
But oh, yeah.
I had my own show for 12 years.
Exactly. I want to just give a kind of an anecdotal situation with me. When I first ran back in 2016, all the way through my first term, and then well into my second until Dave came along in 22, I never had any support or any dealings with the Pima County Republican Club. I think I talked to his predecessor one time in all those years. I never had any support at the Board of Supervisors meetings. I never had any offers to help or to campaign on my behalf. Matter of fact, I really felt, and it didn't bother me because after all, I was a car salesman, you know, in the past, so they could say all kinds of things about me, but I already heard everything, so it didn't bother me. But one, I just noticed this sea change. It was all I knew was not to have any support by the Republican people in the party here in Pima County. And then Dave got elected, and it was like overnight. He was engaged with me. He wanted to pick my brain. We met together. He and Betsy have been huge supporters of me, and I'm not used to that from the Republican Party. And then at the board meetings themselves, they became animated and involved. We must get... Initially, we were getting several dozen people from the Republican Party to come and speak to, call to the public and make their cases known and their animosities felt by what the actions the board was doing. And it was just like this whole influx of fresh air and new blood that came in, and that's all Dave and Betsy's doing.
No, absolutely. And I think what, I guess the question, you brought up the term unity, keeping everybody together. I think there is a whole new blood of enthusiasm inside the Republican Party. There's no doubt. The question I've got is, how are you working to keep, you know, you've talked about expanding the tent, looking for those non-traditional Republicans that you want to bring in. What are you working on to keep all the Republicans, both those that some people refer to as rhinos, and everybody's still Republicans. What are you doing to keep them in that tent with you as well? Because the number of independents, the number of, you know, all these districts in southern Arizona are on razor thin edges.
Well, that's funny because, of course, the independents have been the plurality for a long time. And now in Pima County, you're seeing a rise of the Republicans. And one of the things that's happened here, number one, if you're going to unify, you got to focus on the future. Quit looking backwards. All this looking backward, all this name calling. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the problems because I have people who are doing things that are constantly trying to undermine our efforts and doubting us and creating these false rumors about people. I'll put my Republican bona fides against anybody. My whole life, I've only ever voted Republican. Okay, and this is one of the things I find very frustrating. People who tell is, you know, I try not to use labels like the establishment people or rhinos, you know, because we're trying to understand. I think when push comes to shove and you sit down in November, you're going to see a sea change in many of the groups. Hopefully, like I said, the Christians who are passively sitting on their couch who feel muted will get involved. I hope the Hispanic community will decide that they're going to vote. And, you know, they don't have to change parties to vote Republican. And that's the thing we discovered both in the Reagan era and again in the Trump era, is that a lot of Democrats voted the R when it came to that.
And Dave, you're not even talking about what you've done on the Women's Republican Club's level. You've invigorated them. They're very active, engaged. Their membership is growing. That's all due to your efforts and the efforts of the club itself. And they've been a very pivotal force in Republican activism. Right. I always would like to maybe put out some kind of a reward if someone could tell me why your two predecessors never talked to me during their tenure. And I never had any inner workings with the Republican. If someone would just tell me why was that? And then Dave comes along, and I'm like gobsmacked. I'm going, wow, there are Republicans who really care about other Republicans and what those Republicans are doing at the elected level.
And anybody who's ever been to a meeting and watched Steve in action, it is it's a ball. He sits there stoically, and then he makes these brilliant objections, and it's fabulous, you know, and it's fun for me because I'm texting him, oh my gosh, you know, and even like the word of the day, folks, gobsmacked, you know, it's like, well, I learned just there, listening there, to the
there's
conversation
no, there's
with
no
Steve.
Lack of love right now in here. That's for sure.
Well, no, see, here's the thing is that there's a man who's been a stalwart, and you got to say, look, these are the guys who have to be your focus. This is why we want to replicate this effort with the Steve Spains, the Jail Wittenbreakers, you know, with the Corey Stevens. It's the same people come in, if you watch the clown show that is Adelita, that is oh my god, and Dr. Mengele, his real name's Heinz, but you know, the guy is my father was a physician surgeon. In fact, he was a president of the State Board of Medical Examiners under One-Eyed Jack Williams, remember, who appointed him. And he would have come unglued because he was also with his Marines in Korea as a corpsman, so he had a he had to wait to talk Marine to people. And he would have gone in, and if he was still alive, eviscerated Hines for telling people, report your OBGYN. If he won't give your baby an injection before it's born with his untested experiment.
Or the pregnant mother.
And report
we're drifting off the topic.
Oh, I'm fired up now.
I don't know if I could tell. You guys are rolling. I don't know if
it's two against
Dr. Mengele is a bold statement. When we come back, we got to go to break real quick. But when we come back, I want to address a little bit about what you see the role of your job is throughout the primary and the upcoming election, and how you're going to do that. Supervisor Christie asked right before the break, he goes, I just need to know that the Republicans are going to show up. So I want to hear what you think the party's role is.
Yes, sir.
And yours. So you're listening to Jump In Tucson on KVOI 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll see you after the break. Welcome back from the break. Appreciate you staying with us today on Jump in Tucson. I'm Ted Maxwell. With me, I've got Pima County Republican Party Chair Dave Smith and Pima County Board of Supervisors District 4 Supervisor Steve Christie. And it's been definitely a good banter and conversation going on. We've only got a couple minutes left. So, Dave, I wanted to give you a chance to talk about what you think the party's role is in the primaries. And obviously, Supervisor Christie doesn't have a primary. But more importantly, to address the supervisor's question, how are you going to get out the vote this year?
Well, one of the things we're doing more than we've ever done before, we're going to do a lot of door knocking, a lot of going house to house to Republicans. We have lists of every registered Republican. And also, I think one of the things that's important, we're going to make an outreach to those PND, party not determined people, those independents, and try to draw them. And at the same time, like I said, we're doing outreach to communities. You know, you have this tremendously conservative Hispanic community that no one's done any outreach. When we started researching it, we were amazed that the party's never done anything in that regard. And the other thing is that oftentimes what's happened here, because you just look at the way the party's treated its membership, which is everybody who registers for a Republican is our party member. We've ignored them, and we need to reach out to them, and that's one of the things we're going to do. We're going to have postcards. We're going to text people. We did 500,000 texts with just remember, I don't have a paid staff. Everybody who helps us is a volunteer. That's the kind of commitment you're seeing from all these wonderful people. And folks, I'm going to tell you, the people who run for these offices, it's brutal. The scheduling, the things they do, just talk to Steve anytime about it. But what we're going to do is we're targeting those areas. We're looking at we're looking at the voter now. One of the strategies we're talking about is finding that Republican who hasn't voted in the last couple elections and reaching out to them and say, look, your vote really does matter. You matter to us. And what's happened for so long, the average Republican has been treated as a sidebar. Someone off there no one cares about, no one discusses with them, no one reaches out to them. They may be enthusiastic. What Trump was able to do and has that unique power to communicate at the personal level. And he's got that Reagan-esque ability, even though you can say, well, he's nasty. Oh, he does this and this. He's obtruse. He's all these. Well, he's a bombastic New Yorker. And that thing is maybe this is a day and age when we need a good bombastic New Yorker to come in and be swashbuckling and change this party, change this system, save America. And this is the thing. He speaks to us at the visceral levels. Make, America great again.
Yeah, and I think your point of trying to bring back the you called it average, I'd call maybe, the Republicans who are not happy with the direction.
Not. Many of them
still got to figure out how to get them to show up at the ballot if you're going to win. I mean, Pima County, 38% Democrat, 28% Republican.
And the rest independents.
The rest independents and PNDs. And we've done some polling at SLC, and independents tend to vote to the party that they came from. Mm-hmm. It's those PNDs that are all over the place. They're issue specific. They could be pro-gun and they could be pro-choice. So focusing on that, I think, is an opportunity for you out there.
No, you're very right. And it's going to be things like your show. It's going to be just the day-to-day communication, interpersonal reaction. You know, folks, if you're a conservative and you want to save America, let's say you are an independent, you've left the party. And I talk to independents who come to me all the time and say, I became an independent because when I would say I was a Republican, people shut down. Now as an independent, people listen to me. Okay, that's fine. But if you still have that conservative value base, then go ahead and put signs up. you know, find out who's going to be your board of supervisors representative if we win, and put their sign up. Put your school board people sign up. Put all the signs up. And because a yard sign carries a certain psychological power. It's not on the side of the road. It's on somebody's personal property. These little things are what makes a difference. And also, I'm just going to say this. We are seeing a sea change because of the cataclysmic problems in this country we haven't seen since the Carter era. And that's why I think we have a great potential to have a sweep across the board of our candidates to help change this county, this state, and this country.
Well, I'm a huge yard sign guy, so that may be a conversation we'll save for another day. That was Pima County Republican Party Chair Dave Smith. Appreciate you joining me. And
thank you.
Supervisor Christie, it's always good to see you. So
thank
thanks
you,
for being
Ted.
On with us today.
Remember, I love being supervisor.
I know you do. And tomorrow, join Jump in Tucson, where Grant Kruger will have Republican candidate Steve Spain for District 1 Board of Supervisors. Go out and make a difference in our country, our community, and have a great week.